Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. How are we feeling? Yeah! I'm just going to invite everybody to stand up and come right towards the altar. We are going to give thanks and praise to our God this morning. Amen? How many of you are excited to just say thank you, Jesus? Awesome! All right, can I see you guys clap? All right, this song is new, but it's really easy. And all you have to do is repeat after me, okay? Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Our God saves.
Our God saves.
Sing, oh, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Highest praises.
Highest praises.
Oh, hallelujah. Jesus. Woo! Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Our God saves.
Our God saves.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Highest praises.
Highest praises.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Thanking God out loud. Go ahead, just start thanking Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. You've been so good to us, God. You've been so good. You've been so good. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. My heart is full. My heart is full. I love you, Lord. I love you.
You've been so good. You've been so good. Thank you, Lord, I thank you. My heart is full, my heart is full. I love you, Lord, I love you. You've been so good, you've been so good. I thank you, Lord, I thank you. My heart is full, my heart is full. I love you, Lord.
Sing, you've been so good.
You've been so good, you've been so good. Lord, I thank you. My heart is full. My heart is full. I love you, Lord. I love you.
Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Oh, my soul cries hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Oh, my soul cries, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for saving me.
Can I hear you shout, thank you, Jesus? Hallelujah. We truly are just thankful for everything that you have. Let's just give a shout for Jesus right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you. Jesus, oh.
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
My chains are gone. We worship you this morning, Father. Thank you for saving us. God, we were a mess. We were a wreck. Jesus, you came after us. You drew us. When we confessed you as our Lord and Savior, today we are a different people. Lord, it seems even hard to look back and to remember what we were, how far you brought us. And Father, today we just want to say thank you for that amazing grace, that unending love. Lord, you're so faithful to us, and we honor you this morning in the name of Jesus. Aren't you glad for Jesus? Amen. Why don't you give God the greatest praise you can for saving your soul? Hallelujah. Cost him everything he had. Hallelujah. Now do me a favor. Go find five people that you might know or might not know and say, I thank God for that grace. Amen. Go let people know that you're saved today. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Go tell five people in this room that you don't even... Listen, five people you don't know. It's time to practice and to lead your friends to Jesus. Amazing grace.
Hey, good morning, family. We want to remind you our next water baptism is coming up December 3rd at 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. service. This is actually our last one for the year. If you're interested and want to be water baptized December 3rd, make sure you sign up. You can come right to the hub in the foyer, or you can go online, histabernacle.com/baptism. Sign up today for water baptism. Again, December 3rd, 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. service.
We want to invite you out to the next Outreach Saturday. It's going to be December 2nd right here at noon. It's going to be in the big classroom on the side. And we want to encourage you. We had 25 people come out last month and get trained up. But this month we're covering some things you do not want to miss. We're going to be covering things like tracks, things like soul winning scripts, how to invite your friends, how to invite your family to church, how to even share the gospel with them. It's going to be a crucial thing. And remember, soul winning and telling people about Jesus is the heart of God. So I want to encourage you, take a step of faith and join us with this class Saturday, December 2nd. We are doing our annual Matthew 25 toy drive. Unlike last year where we grabbed a specific name, this year we're doing it a little more generic. So we are raising 150 gifts for kindergarten through sixth graders, both male and female. And what we're asking is that you bring your $20 gift unwrapped in a gift bag. You can drop it off at the hub on a Sunday, my office throughout the week. And we want to make this year special for these kids and bless them on Christmas.
Hey, something new that we're doing here at His Tabernacle. Every single Sunday, you are going to have bulletins and envelopes right in your seats. But in case you did not get one, we have them right here in the back wall with our offering envelopes, and also our bulletins are right here on the wall in case you want to grab one on your way out. Oh, and guess what? Our pastor, he's so cool and awesome. We even got sermon notes on the back side now. Isn't that cool? So make sure this is where you can get your bulletin and your offering envelope if you need it.
Praise the Lord. Just a quick note concerning the, do we have one more thing? Yes? Concerning the toys for the children, one more last thing. Amen. For the children, raising the funds for the children, I want to thank God for the Hog Club, the Harley-Davidson Club out of Alpine Junction. I believe they're going to be sowing near $400 to help buy gifts for the children, as well as the motorcycle tree is down there, and the bikers were down there yesterday pulling off names to be able to give. So, you know, our local Harley-Davidson shop is helping us. They believe in what we're doing here at His Tabernacle to be able to bless the children. So I just want to say thank God for them.
Praise God. It's such an honor and privilege to participate with a group of people that don't believe in just coming to church on a Sunday morning, but are genuinely hungry for the power and the presence of God in the house of God. And I want to encourage you every day before you even come into this place to have a higher level of expectancy, that God would refresh you and restore you and meet you in a way that He's never met with you before. But when we come together corporately and we're hungry for God to move, that's where revival begins to break out, not just in our own lives, but together we are more powerful. One should put 1,000 to flight, but two should put 10,000 to flight, the Bible says. We need one another. Do not forsake the assembling together of the brethren, the word says. So we want to welcome you this morning. Thank you so much for coming together with us so that we could bring the highest praise to our Abba Father, our Daddy. We would like to welcome our guests this morning. Thank you for coming out to meet with us, to worship with us. If you are a guest in this house, would you just raise your hand? We want to bring a gift to you. We have someone right here, section back. Any other guests this morning? One right in the back, second over. Any other guests? There's a guest over here, and guests right here. And guests in the back. Any other guests this morning? Yes, over here. We have some guests over here. We're going to bring, if you can just keep your hands up, because I think that they're going to get you more gifts, okay? Who wants more gifts? God is so good. He's going to go, yeah, thanks, Mark Bishop. So we would also like to invite you over here on this side of the building. When the service is completed, you just go out these back doors, take a left, go down that hallway, to a guest reception. We are so eager to meet you. One of the best things about who we are at His Tabernacle is that we're a family and we believe in relationship in the same way that our Jesus did. So we would like to be able to meet you, get to know you. We would also like to welcome our live stream audience. Thank you so much for tuning in and joining us and worship. We are truly blessed to have you as a part of our family. Now, you have a bulletin. Hopefully, you grabbed one. If you did not, you want to grab one on your way out, because there are many, many things happening in this church, and we could take up a whole service just talking about them. But the one thing that I want you to mark on your calendars is our Christmas Eve service. It is December 24th at 7 p.m. I would encourage you to make this a new tradition. If you don't already come, come on out. Make God first in your family. Come in and join us as we worship Him. This isn't your average Christmas Eve service. It's beautiful, but it's all about ministering to God. How many of you know we need to bring a ministry to God? And that's our opportunity to do that. December 24th, 7 p.m. Please join us. Pastor Rhonda.
Good
Good morning. I'm just so blessed seeing the Billiott family spread out on the back, just all seated around. You know, it just reminded me of in the Bible when Jesus would speak and the families would just sit on the sides of the mountaintops. They didn't have fancy chairs like we're sitting in there. So thank you so much for just being a family and being real. Thank you. We love you guys so much. As we enter into this time of talking about prosperity, and it's God's desire to prosper His children. And we are a church of tithers. We are a church that walk under an open heaven. And Malachi 3:10, it says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so that there may be meat in my house, and prove me in this, says the Lord of hosts, that I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing." We love that passage of scripture, but the important part in this is obedience. When we choose to obey out of principle rather than persuasion. So let me read the scripture that's principle, and it's the one we quote every single week in Deuteronomy 28. At the very first verse in Deuteronomy 28, it says, if. That means there's a condition for an open heaven. It starts out, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord and to observe to do all of His commandments. Then the Lord thy God will set thee high above all the nations. So if we obey, Isaiah 1:19 says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. Amen. And the word of God says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or the seed out begging for bread. And in all of our years of ministry, never have we seen anybody that is obedient to the principles of God not blessed under an open heaven. Never one time have I seen it. When we obey the word of God, here's Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but I will meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make your way prosperous, and you shall have good success. And we all want to prosper and have good success. It comes from being obedient out of principle to the Word of God. And every time we stand on the principle of the Word of God, no matter what it is, it shall come to pass. So if you're ready this morning to make your supernatural declaration with me from Deuteronomy 28, stand to your feet as we prepare to give. When you quote this scripture with me this morning, I want you to say it with so much conviction, knowing that you know that you know that God's word is true. We're going to break some things off with our declaration this morning. We're going to set some things in order. Favor is coming. Increase is coming. Blessing is coming. Promotion, witty ideas, invention, jobs, blessing, health, being made whole, restoration of relationships, reconciliation, open heaven is coming. So let's declare this like we are so convinced that the principles of the Word of God open the windows of heaven when we choose to obey. So Deuteronomy 28, let me hear you. Let all of heaven hear you. Let all of your problems hear you. If I obey.
If I obey.
Oh, come on, a little bit better. If I obey. Then I am blessed going in. And I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They have tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching via live stream, give right along with us by clicking on the giving button, or you can even text to give.
Your God.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I just want to say thank you for all of the folks that participated. Many times we announce, but people don't understand what to. We were in two parades this weekend. We were at the Elmira Christmas Parade. I love being in the parades. I just love walking behind and waving at everybody. And then on Saturday, we were at the Holidays. And then on Saturday night, we were at the Parade of Lights. And man, the Parade of Lights was beautiful. There's only one problem. There was a church there that beat us. I'm talking like, seriously, their float was a lot better than ours. And we can never allow that to happen again. Can I hear an amen? Listen, I believe in the spirit of competition, and this is where we're at right now. We have 12 months to make a better float than they've got. I'm sorry. I'm trying to behave myself, but I hate being beaten. Amen? So we need a better float. So if you got ideas, you make sure you see Pastor Chad. And if you're willing to help, we need some really creative people. Now, my wife is leaving. Her and Jade, Pastor Jade, are heading out to South Africa tomorrow. They for those who don't know, my wife wrote a book. It's called No More Hurt. If you don't have that book, I would strongly encourage you to purchase that book. That book teaches you how to get out of bitterness, how to go and live a life of forgiveness, and not be tethered down by the wounds of your past. And this lady here has not only wrote it, but she's lived it. And so they got an invitation to go to South Africa and to do a woman's conference. It's really exciting because at first they weren't sure how many were going to be there. And now there are over 450 women that have paid to go to this this woman's retreat. And they'll be doing that while they're in South Africa. So it's very exciting to send out Pastor Rhonda to South Africa to do ministry. Many of you might not even have known this, but Pastor Chad actually was recently, last month, was in Finland. That's right. He was in Finland, preaching in Finland. It's very cool. The weeks before that, there was a whole group of us in Mexico. So what's really neat is realizing how large broadcasting this church is of the gospel of Jesus. We're not stuck here in a field, and I did see deer over near the corn. Let's move on. But we're in the middle of a cornfield, but what's exciting is we're literally touching the world. And I want to thank you because you participate with that. How many of you participated with the parades this weekend or the festival? Look at all the hands going up. I want to encourage you. You will love it. Make sure that you're participating. I believe our next event is Sparkle. If you would like to participate with Sparkle, make sure you see Pastor Chad. He's over our outreach department, and you will have a blast. There's nothing more fun than standing behind there. I believe at one of those events, we gave away thousands of dollars of Bibles. People were actually coming up and asking for Bibles. 2 years ago, I believe it was at the Chili Chocolate Festival. They were asking for Bibles. So exciting watching people hungry. They don't even have a Bible in their home. We live in America. They don't have a Bible, but I thank God we're able to give them one. Amen? I also want to give a shout out to Jake. Jake, if you can stand. He hates this. Jake, stand up and wave at everybody. Amen. Jake just got back from Puerto Rico. He spent 2 weeks there serving in the armed forces. And we just wanted, actually, it was longer than 2 weeks. How long ago was that? How long were we there? 2 months, right? He was 2 months in Puerto Rico. And I just want to thank God for the men and women of this house who serve our country. Can I give them a hand clap as well? I've so loved this year. This year has been a great year, hasn't it? The year of generosity. I love the fact our verse for the year dealing with if you are generous, that God will make you rich. The word rich there does not talk about spiritual. It's talking about stuff. God wants you blessed going in and blessed going out. Those aren't just words we speak over our offering. That's the word of the Lord. God wants you blessed. God wants you blessed in every aspect, in every facet of your life. And man, I don't know about you. I have grown this year. I have actually, my spirit man has changed this year. Why? Because I'm seeing bigger, because I'm giving bigger. And I'm not talking money. I'm giving more of my life, more of my time. The more you give, you shall receive. This is the principle of the principle of generosity. And this is what we're asking God to work within this body. We need to be the most generous people. There should be nobody more generous than His Tabernacle Family Church. Can I hear an amen? Turn to someone saying, thank God you're generous. Some of you just prophesied into somebody next to you. That's good. Amen. It's important that you're generous. You will be blessed by God. It is the principle of heaven. I want to talk about a principle this morning that is so powerful because it opens God's power in your life. So many people are looking and they're coming into trouble in their life and they're struggling when trouble comes and they don't know how to deal with it. They call out to God and nothing sometimes seems to happen. Well, why is that? Because sometimes we have not opened and used a key that God has given us to be able to open the blessings of heaven for our life. Now, we need to understand that God's kingdom is what's ruling us, not this world's kingdom. That was a weak amen. We are governed not by the world system. We're governed by God's system. We're governed by God's kingdom, His word, His constitution, His principles. The principles, we talked about that a few weeks ago, how many of us don't live by principle, but we live by persuasion. What is a principle? A principle is what you build your life upon. It is purposes and design and belief systems that once you've placed them in your life, that is solid in your life. We talked about Jesus. Jesus made the principle of going to church. Jesus had the principle of giving. Jesus had the principle. He lived a life of principles for us so that we could learn how to live. Every principle of mom and dad that you have, you actually bestow to your children. You're passing down principles. What happens in most American churches is when more people are living by persuasion. And that is their likes, their dislikes, their conveniences, their circumstances. If it moves them, they'll move on it. But if not, it's no big deal. But God wants us to come back to being people of principle. And the principle is what will allow not only your generations to succeed beyond you, but will also allow you to live a life of consistency. There's nothing worse than chaos. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Nobody likes chaos in their life. But chaos cannot be extracted without principles. Let me say it one more time. Your chaos cannot be extracted without principles. When you understand how to live by principles, you understand that no matter what is coming against you, there are certain proofs that are solid and set fast that you cannot be moved from. And if you can't be moved, let me tell you, God will move for you. Can I hear an amen or oh my? I want to talk about a principle this morning. I'm going to be kind of short, only like 2 or 3 hours, and we'll be done. I want to teach us and preach a message on thankfulness. You know, we just finished Thanksgiving. But what's interesting is being thankful is something that's almost scarce in our world today. You know, how many of you remember when you were children, if you didn't say please, your parents and your grandparents taught you this, if you didn't say thank you, you didn't get it. Come on, please, say please. Come on, be thankful, say thank you. Listen, I remember as a kid, if I didn't say please and thank you, I didn't get it. We've lived and this world has shifted from being a world of thankfulness to a world that believes in obligation, that everybody owes us. And the truth is that nobody owes us anything. Now, I did try this. I've shared this story before, but I did try this with my mother. One day, I needed to go to our youth pastor's house. So I said to my mom, I said, Ma, I need to go to Godna so that I can see Rudy and Loretta. And she says, well, I'm not going there today. I says, well, I still need you to take me. So she conceded, and we got in the car, a Ford Fairmont, sky blue, and we're on our way to Gardner. And all of a sudden, she said, you know, you could say thank you. And I said, why would I say thank you? You're my mother. You're supposed to take me. So the car pulled over. And my mother said, get out. Now, come on, we all know this. We all know the threats of our parents. Get out. So I got out of the car, all cocky. You know, what's she going to do, drive away? Yes, she drove away. And I stood there for a little bit, and I'm waiting. I'm expecting her to come back. She did not come back. She drove away. I had to look, back in those days, you could thumb and not be, you know, murdered. So I had to thumb to get home, which was about 10 miles from home. But she didn't come back for me. Why? Well, I went back house, and I was really mad at her. I says, hey, you know what? You left me there. She goes, you should have been more thankful. The truth is that thankfulness is something that's missing in our world today. In fact, what's amazing is when you look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, it says, in the last days, perilous times will come. It's talking about how you can identify just before Jesus is returning. And it gets into a whole list of things that will be in people's minds. People will be lovers of themselves. They'll be dishonorable. Here's one of them. Ready? It says they'll be unthankful. We live in a world today that many people are just unthankful. And it's actually permeated the body of Christ to where now when trouble comes our way, we're not thankful for where God has brought us. We actually start playing the game with the Israelites. If you remember the Israelites, God delivered them in Exodus. And they were delivered out of the Egyptians' bondage from over 400 years. What's really cool about this is when they exited Egypt, the Bible says in Psalms 105 that not one of them was sick. So 2.5 million people, not one of them was sick. Not mama, not baby, not grandma, not grandpa, but everyone that left Egypt, there was not one feeble among them. But also it says they left with the silver and gold of the Egyptians. So here they are. They didn't just have to leave Egypt. They left healthy and they left blessed. They left with all the wealth of Egypt in their pockets. So what's the first thing that happens? They get to the Red Sea and they can't cross it. They can see the Egyptian army now running in behind them. The cloud is coming. And instead of turning and saying, well, if God delivered us from them, he can also turn around and deliver us from this. No, what they said, they looked at Moses and they said, yeah, nice guy. You brought us out here to kill us, didn't you? Man, I'd be better off if we were eating the cabbage and working for the Egyptians. I wish we were back there. Man, I tell you something. So many times, it's easy to forget how many times and how much we've been blessed with. To slip into a lifestyle of unthankfulness, of being people that do not thank him and thank God for what he's done in our lives. So what does God do? Well, God opens the Red Sea, of course. They walk across on dry ground. Another miracle. Man, they get across on the other side. They build a memorial, the whole thing. Guess what happens? The Egyptian army starts running through the middle, and it all collapses, and the entire Egyptian army is drowned in the Red Sea. I love the people of the world. They try to say, listen, that's not true. Couldn't be true because the water was only 2 inches deep. What a greater miracle. The entire Egyptian army drowned in 2 inches of water. So here we are. They get across, and now they get thirsty. So what happens when they get thirsty? They start crying out. The well they were going to was bitter. You see what happens in our lives, and the devil just loves it. Why? Because he keeps us from looking up. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. When we're looking at our problems, we're not looking up. We're not looking for what God has accomplished in our lives. We're only looking at the problem. Listen, it's time to trouble your trouble. It's time to have problems to look at itself and say, listen, if God is on their side, I can win, and it's time to back out. This comes through learning how to be thankful. It's the will of God. Turn to someone and say, you want to know the will of God? Here it is. Listen, everybody, oh, it's funny to me. People come up, what's the will of God for my life? It's easy. Ready? In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So what's the will of God? Is being thankful. What's the will of God? Is telling people what Christ has done in your life. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know the hard times I've gone through. I might not know the hard times, but if you're breathing, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. It's time to recognize when you step into praise, when you step into being thankful, that you open up heaven's ability to move on your behalf. In fact, why don't you just take a second, look at one person and tell them three things you're thankful that God has done in your life. Listen, I know you're not doing that. I don't hear the hum. Come on, just tell them three things. Now, listen, I am horribly stubborn. Come on, tell somebody three things. It's amazing how easy it is to think about the three things that God has blessed us with, even in the middle of our trial. You know, when you start recognizing how blessed we are, we as Americans, many times, we forget how blessed we are in America. You know, when we go to Mexico, the average Mexican where we go in Campeche, they make about $7 a day. Now, in America, we make, I think the minimum wage is now of over $11. So $11 an hour to $7 for an entire day's work. Everyone says to me, well, the economy is different. No, it's not. If you get down to Mexico, it costs the same for them as it does for us. You see, we are so blessed, we forget so many times how blessed we are. How many of you have a pillow? How many of you have more than one pillow? Okay. How many of you have three pillows? How many have four pillows? How many have 10 pillows? You got 9? You got 6? You got how many? You got 5? How many have got 9 pillows? I want to find the pillow freak in the room. Hallelujah. Bury it in the back. There you go. Oh, yeah. Mama has them? Yeah. How many pillows, honey? You got 11 pillows? Listen, you see how blessed we are? We're talking about a pillow. But how many people in the world have never once slept with a pillow? It is amazing how easy it is to forget how blessed we actually are. And all across this world, how many of you got a pair of shoes on today? How many of you have at least 2 pairs of shoes in your closet? Okay, here we go again. How many got 10 pair of shoes in your closet? How many have 50 pair of shoes in your closet? 1, 2, 3. You ever notice this? Oh, 75 pair of shoes in your closet. Josh Fuchsman. It's the truth. He's got 75. Who has 100 pair? We had 2 ladies in the church this morning who had 100 pair of shoes. You got 100 pair of shoes? 100 pair of shoes. Glory to God. Come on, somebody else. 100 pair of shoes. Josh Fuchsman. No. You have, Mama, you have 100 pair of shoes? Come on. How many got matching purses? You notice I didn't ask the men that. Amen. No, really, it's amazing. Now, my son Cody, he was a shoe collector. He collects, what do they call them? Jordans. He had a pair of Jordans that matched socks, that matched the hat, that matched the... I just used to make fun of him all the time. All of us, we're so blessed. You know, to think, I've got more than one pair of shoes. There are people on this planet today that don't have any shoes. We forget, and we forget to be thankful because we're so engulfed and we're so submerged with so many blessings, we forget to be thankful for what we actually have. And I don't know about you, I am blessed. And God wants you blessed. Turn to tell somebody amen. God wants you blessed. He's not trying to make you poor. He's not trying to make you feel guilty. But many times we forget to thank him for the things that he's done for us. And today I just want to remind us that this is the will of God. If you've ever wondered what the will of God is, if you ever get to the place where you say, I wonder what God's will is for my life, it's easy. Start right here. Why? Because God knows that the moment you start to praise him, God knows that the moment you start to thank him, that the moment you position yourself in this era, you now open up heaven's capability of pouring out power in your life to meet every one of your needs. The Bible says that that in the book of Psalms, that we are to enter his gates with thanksgiving in our heart, enter his courts with praise. Why? The moment we enter that way, we open up heaven's capability for our life. The moment we step into thankfulness, the moment that we have gratitude, the moment that we say, Father, thank you for what you've done, immediately heaven starts opening its doors to you and I. We're talking about the open heaven. The open heaven is the presence of the Lord. You see, the more you praise him, the more the presence will come. The more you thank him, the more you realize how blessed you actually are. It's so powerful to recognize that praise and thankfulness opens up heaven's opportunity for you to release the power of God. See, this is what God's hunger is for your life. Jesus dealt with this issue in the Gospels. Luke chapter 17, 11 through 19. It happened one day when Jesus went to Jerusalem and he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a certain village, there he met 10 men who were lepers. Now, we don't have leprosy in America much. I believe it's here or there, but it's very, very small. But in other countries, they have leprous communities. What is leprosy? Let's just say you have leprosy on your nose. What it will actually do is eat the flesh away from your nose. So all you'll see is someone's cartilage. If you have leprosy in your hand, it literally eats the skin, the flesh, right off your hand until all they see is the bones. Leprosy is a horrific disease, a flesh-eating disease that destroys many people's lives. And here there are 10 of these guys that are standing there. They're standing there, and they came out to Jesus, and they cried out to him. I love what they said. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So here's 10 guys who have leprosy. It's illegal for them to be in public, to be around other people. They're not allowed to be without crying. Unclean, unclean. You see, you might feel unclean. You might be a person that others have rejected. But I want you to know when you call upon the Master, you always draw his attention. Can I hear an amen? Master Jesus, have mercy on us. I love what Jesus did. He then when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was as they went, they were cleansed. This is really cool. You know, Jesus, he just knew his daddy so much, knew and understood authority so much that he didn't even pray for them. He just said, go see the priest. And as they were going, the Bible says that all 10 of them, the leprosy came off their body. Well, amen. So all 10 of these guys are healed. But something that this text is really focusing on comes up. And it comes up in our lives as well. And it says this. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice, glorifying God. How many of you have been born again, washed by the blood of Jesus? How many of you know if you take your last breath today, you'll be with him for all of eternity? Let's try that one more time. And he returned with a loud voice, glorifying God. How many have been washed by the blood of Jesus? That was a little bit better. One time I was, and I've shared this before, but one time we were at Rod Parsley's church. This was many, many years ago. And there was a man and a woman. This man was dancing all over the place, and the wife was dancing around the altar too. 5,000 people in the sanctuary. And you know, they were really the only ones. They were like kind of making a fool of themselves. You know, they were really worshiping unabashed. They really didn't care what anybody thought. So I'll be honest with you. My head said, well, you know, they went a little bit extravagant, don't you think? And all of a sudden, Rod Parsley stood up and he said, I just sense in my spirit that people are looking at them and kind of mocking them and wondering why they're doing what they're doing. He said, last year at this time, this woman was diagnosed with a terminal brain cancer. And I laid hands on her in the name of Jesus, and the brain cancer disappeared. He said the doctors gave no hope, but Jesus healed her body. He said that man's dancing because today he has his wife in the house of the Lord, and she's dancing because she's been healed by the power of God. You see, when something happens that's good in your life, you got to tell somebody. You got to shout out loud that God is good. Can I hear an amen? He fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And the Bible says he was a Samaritan. Now, if you don't know anything about Samaritans, back in those days, they were considered the dogs. They weren't even, in fact, the Jewish people, they were very prejudiced. The Jewish people didn't even consider them human beings. They were considered less than. And so here the man who was a foreigner, here is a man that should have never given praise. Here is a man that could have just walked home to Samaria, set free. Instead, he is the only one that comes back to Jesus and cries out with a loud voice, glorifying God for the miracle that happened in his life. And Jesus said this. He said, where are the other nine? You know what I really thought cool about that too? Jesus never saw all 10 healed, but he knew they all were, even though he couldn't see it because he understood his authority. Only one came back and was thankful. You see, it's so easy to get to the position where we stop thanking God. We stop sharing all the good things that he's done in our life. It's so easy to focus on the negative. It's so easy. In fact, isn't that our human nature? Something goes bad and we think hell is now opening up. And we go to the doctor and the doctor gives us a report. And now we know we're dying. And he told us we have a hangnail. Because human nature loves to go to the extreme of everything negative and everything bad. But you see what happens, and God is teaching us this principle about his will, that if you will learn how to be thankful when trouble comes your way, when you will learn how to be thankful when trials and tribulations are coming your way, when you will learn how to be thankful, you will open up the very presence of heaven in your life, and God will say, listen, you can call those things which are not as though they already are. You can release the power of heaven, and God will open up the windows of heaven and pour forth a blessing you cannot even contain. It's time to recognize that God is for you, but you got to get God where you are. He said he inhabits the praises of his people. So the moment we start praising him, the moment we start thanking him, the moment we start sharing the good things that God has done in our life, we're no longer staring at our problems, but we're staring up, looking unto Jesus, that author and the finisher. And our vision changes. See, the whole issue is this. It's not that a circumstance has to change for you to be thankful. How you see is what you get. You can be a person that has never had physical sight, and you can have phenomenal vision. But you can have perfect sight and never see anything but death. What brings one from one to the other is a spirit of thankfulness. When my wife and I, we were actually at the parade last night. Like I said, we love walking in the parades, waving at everybody. It's a lot of fun seeing people. We see this a lot. Those are the people on TV. That's what we see a lot. So we wave at them. Well, the parade was done, man. It was a great parade. It was packed out. If you were at the Corning, what is that called? Parade of Lights. It was packed last night. It was so much fun, and it was warm. Glory be to Jesus. Even though we got beat. Okay, let's move on. The parade's done, and it's time to go back to the car. It's a mile back to the car. So here we go. We're walking back to the car, and down comes the rain. Now listen, we weren't dressed, you know, we weren't dressed in jeans. We were dressed just like this. We were dressed up, we were looking good and smelling good and walking good, and all of a sudden on the way back, heaven opened up. We had an open heaven. But the rain came sideways. I'm talking like Rhonda looked at me and she says, "My hair is going flat." She said, "Let's run." Now, we all know that running is a horrible disease that no one should have. So Ron and I, and we're running down the road, running down in Corning. And we're running as fast as we can. Guess what? We're still wet. We're just soaked, saturated. And I got in the truck, and I started to complain a little bit. And the Lord reminded me, there are people who would love to be able to run. They would even run in the cold rain. There are people who would like the physical ability that no longer have it. And I went, ay, babe. The rebukes of the Lord sometimes are just so good because he reminds us, no matter what trial or tribulation we're going through, man, we still have it good. We are still blessed. We still have so much to be thankful for. We still have a Messiah that is on our side. And if God is for us, who can be against us? We still have the King of Kings as our King. And if our King is truly the owner of all, that there's nothing we can accomplish. You see, when we recognize that thankfulness arouses the presence of the Lord, then we have got to be people that stop complaining. Stop complaining.
Amen.
Stop whining.
Amen.
And be people that start giving thanks. Come on, tell somebody around you two more things you're thankful for. Go ahead, real quick, tell them real quick, two more things you're thankful for. Could I have the testimonies come up? Brett, make sure you come with your wife. Amen. Where's Nick? What about me? Oh, my goodness. First of all, I'm thankful that I have a wife this year. Because last year, my wife was diagnosed with stage 3 cancer. And God miraculously healed her. Which we have photographs of to prove and doctor's report to prove. I've got a reason to shout. I'm a little angry sending her away to Africa. That means 2 weeks with no food. I might become thinner. But I thank God I have a wife to send to Africa. Amen? We just wanted to share some testimonies with you because many of us have come from dark places. But the great part is, that today you have a true reason, even though you have trouble in your life, it's time to trouble your trouble. You heard me say it before. Trouble your trouble with praise. Nick.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Nick.
Thank you, Pastor. So, like I said in first service, a lot of you see me up at the altar every week, which is awesome. It's an honor and a privilege to serve as much as I get to. I am a youth leader, and I work with the Core Awaken Young Adults team, which is also awesome. So a lot of you see me in what I'm doing today, where God has brought me, but a lot of you may not know where I came from before I was here. So I've been coming to HT for about 3 years now. This is the house I was saved in. So that's really close to my heart because I didn't really know what it was to be saved. I didn't really know what it was to know Jesus. I had been going to church with my mom when I was younger, but it wasn't a living church. It was kind of a dead church, just full of really judgment and condemnation, and it was really hard. And I didn't realize how that made me feel about who I thought God was when I was growing up. So because of that, looking back now, hindsight being 2020, I realized that I put myself in the position to go through some things that I probably didn't need to go through. I made a lot of the classic mistakes that a lot of my generation actually are going through these days, which is another reason why I'm just like, okay, young adults, let's get more of them in here and to know the Lord, because I fell through a lot of just really self-destructive behaviors. I've been exposed to a lot of things that I really didn't need to. Like I said in first service, I did the whole drugs and alcohol thing. I've lived out of my car. I've definitely let people into my life that didn't have the right to, now that I look back. But I didn't really know who I was, and I was falling through a lot of confusion and a lot of hurt. So in 2014, I actually finally came after Kayla Keegan, sitting on the front row here. I don't know if any of you have the pleasure of knowing her, but she's pretty cool. You should get to know her. she and I worked together at a restaurant locally, and she actually put in like a year and a half worth of work before I even came in the door. So I can really credit her to literally dragging me in, kicking and screaming. But because of just that one connection and because of the power of the Holy Spirit, I really just came to reconciliation. And I honestly didn't really know what it meant when I gave my heart to the Lord, But I knew that Pastor was speaking on actually the end times and great tribulations, and I was like, I'm not going to be here when that goes down. So I went up and I cried a lot and I said the prayer and I was like, okay, this is cool. I did a thing and that's great. And it's crazy because I'm still learning what it means to be saved, to know Jesus. And one of the biggest testimonies that I'm thankful for is shortly after, so I got saved in the fall, that winter, the Christmas production, I invited my family, which I don't know if any of you guys know, they live an hour and a half away. And in my heart, I was like, wow, how awesome would it be if they came every single week? But I just can't ask them. That's too much. That's too much of them. So they came, and it was better than I ever could have imagined. My stepdad, he said, Nick, I've been looking for a church like this since I came back from Tennessee. This is the kind of service that made me fall in love with God in the first place. And they've came faithfully. I don't know if you have met Sue Bull or Rick Bull, but those are my parents. Rick, he oversees the men's ministry worship team, and my mom, she does the kids ministry. So she's usually in the bright green, his kids' shirts. But yeah, in 3 years, God has done more than 21 other years that I've lived. So I'm really thankful for that.
So I was really, really, really sick in the whole month of September, and some of you knew and some of you were praying for me, but I had a really high temperature and I was hospitalized. They couldn't figure out what was going on, and they tested CAT scan and a lot of blood work and every test you can think of, a spinal tap, and they tested for 15, 20 different diseases and no answers, and instead of getting better, I just kept getting worse. And I wanted to get to church, and I was physically in such a bad condition that I couldn't get to church. And Brett was taking me in a wheelchair places. It was to the point where my body, I was physically in so much pain and so lightheaded if I stood up for any period of time that I felt like I wasn't being a good mom. I couldn't be there for my kids. And then I started getting scared, like, what if I'm not going to be there to watch my kids grow up? And I finally said, I've got to get to church. And I came, and I couldn't even stand at the altar for worship. I was in so much pain. And Pastor Rhonda came. I was sitting in the front row, and she came down and prayed with me. And she prayed first for the fears. And I had never told anybody how afraid I was and how scared I was about my future. And first she prayed for the mental fears to be gone and to have faith that I was being healed. And then she prayed physically for healing. And I left church, and I just felt like this weight was lifted off of me, and I wasn't afraid anymore. I just felt like a comfort. And then I got home, and I got out of the car, and I had no pain. And I played with my kids, and I played outside with them, and I baked an apple pie for Brett. And I was still, like, kind of on the edge of my seat, like, am I healed? And I woke up Monday morning thinking, okay, am I going to wake up feeling lightheaded? And I wasn't. I was 100% symptom-free. And it's been, doctors are baffled. They don't understand. I'm still going to specialists. I'm still seeing, they want to do other tests. But yeah, I'm just standing firm on the faith that I am healed. And no doctor is going to tell me otherwise.
Praise the Lord. This is Chris and Ange, and I want to cover two areas of thankfulness in their life, because there is, wow, amazing things. Many of you might not know, but Chris, before he gave his heart to Jesus, was a pagan, which is over...
It's an umbrella over all the earthly religions.
So the pagan, being a pagan is over all of the Wicca and all the other religions. And he wasn't just in it. He was actually high in it and was also doing weddings and things in that manner for that religion, for that, well, we know it's diabolical. We know it's devil. And it's amazing. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about what God's done in your life?
Well, as Pastor was saying, sorry, it's really difficult talking about the past because I don't like bringing it up, because I don't let the devil come to me anymore. In the past, it's been many times to where I would know of God. I would know of this religion and know of that religion, and I'd study this and I'd study that, and I'd learn how to do black magic, white magic, and no matter what magic I did, it always seemed like I was looking behind my back. I was looking for, you know, a consequence, something that was going to hit me no matter where I went. And so just as you guys know, all magic comes with a price, so don't deal with it. Please don't. And I honestly, it was 5 years ago, Bridget Weigel came to my house, and she's like, you know, come to HISTAB. We don't believe in a religion. We want you to have a relation. And I'm like, yeah, no, whatever. I don't really, you know, I don't really want to get into that. And that took us, I mean, we literally got into a heated debate, like a heated debate on who God is and who my God is. And, well, finally, I gave it in, and I decided to come. And I tell you, the devil hit me hard. I mean, it hit me hard because I was even just deciding to going into the house of God. And it got to the point to where me and my wife started fighting, got into a big, I mean, I almost lost my wife, lost my kids. And then it wasn't but 6-7 months after the first time I came here with a white knuckle disease, as you say it. I came back and Pastor Spencer said, you know, if you have any questions, ask me. And, well, here I am thinking I'm, you know, Mr. High with, you know, the pagan and everything. I'm going to ask Pastor this question, and I'm going to prove him wrong. Well, come to find out, he proved me wrong. And ever since then, you know, I'm a firm believer that this church isn't about religion. It's about relationship. We want you to know who God is. And, you know, with the things that God has done in my life, going from looking behind me, trying to, you know, wonder if that devil's going to hit me, to knowing that God's got my back and he's on my side. And if he's with me, nobody can stand against me. I have no fears. And, you know, now I have my beautiful wife. I have my three beautiful boys, well, handsome boys, and they're all God-fearing. And they love God and they enjoy God. And every day we spend time with the Word with them. And we try and do as much as we can to grow in their faith.
What's that?
Yes, they've done all the classes. And you were really close to divorce, weren't you? What happened?
So we were fighting constantly. Money was always an issue, and that was the big thing with fighting. Kids was another thing because he had a son, I had a son, then we had a son together. So blending that family was kind of difficult. He was gone overseas our first year of marriage, so I was the head of the house. And I had to basically take a step down and learn that I'm not the head of the house, he is. So the marriage class that we took here was amazing. Marriage counseling was amazing. You guys taught us how to fight fair, how to work our finances in God's way, which luckily that has gotten us a house, two cars, motorcycle. Like, we're so blessed, and it's amazing. It's all because of the teaching that we get here.
Shut up. And your marriage is still together. Do you guys like each other?
No.
No. Give her a big French kiss. Give her a big little kiss. No! No! Every one of us in this room have a testimony. Every one of us. Man, if you ever get a chance to talk to Jody Dykes, if you've ever struggled with suicide, this woman right here, man, she's here today because of God's grace. And everybody in this room, you know, there are some people in this room, did you grow up in that Christian home? You didn't go drinking and partying. But man, it's the same grace that sets you free. We all have the same amount to be thankful for, that Jesus loves us. Man, I don't know about you, but when you recognize how much he loves you, your whole life transforms and you become thankful. And today, you know, the whole message is very simple. And that is, please be thankful. This is how you and I open up heaven to be able to move what's here on earth. If you say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and do not doubt, you shall have what you ask. How do you do that? When you start to praise him, his presence comes in. When you start to be thankful, then he releases a blessing in your life. Being thankful is a key. It is the will of God that you are thankful in all things. Can I hear an amen? You know, today, some of you are saying, but Pastor, you don't get it. How bad my life is, how hard my life is, the difficulties I'm going through. I just want to read Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. It says this: be anxious, don't be worried, don't freak out about anything, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made unto God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. We all want our peace, but you can't get the peace until you give the thanks. The quicker we learn this, the quicker we open up heaven. The quicker we start seeing God show up in our problems. The quicker we start seeing answers come when it seems impossible for man. It's possible with God. He loves blessing his babies. He loves blessing his children. When Paul and Silas were in the lowest part of the prison, they had learned this principle of being thankful. And they started to praise in the midnight hour. And the praise filled the entire prison to where all of a sudden the place that they were was shaken by an earthquake. And all of the bars and all of the shackles fell off all of the prisoners. Not just that one, not just Paul and Silas, but all the prisoners were set free because they learned how to be thankful. You see, you and I touch so many people with our attitude. You and I touch so many people with our thankfulness, even in the midst of our trial, that we can change an atmosphere of the people that are around us. You know, it's very interesting. If you're an employer, you hire people, statistically, people are hired because of their resume, but they're fired because of their attitudes. And when you and I have an attitude of gratitude, even in the midst of our trial, we are thankful. We are people that praise God. Let me tell you something. You're going to affect every prisoner around you, because people are going to recognize that if God can do it for you, God can do it for them. Amen. You and I have so much to be thankful for. Come on now. Can I hear you give God praise for the thanksgiving in your life? Now, we have a little homework for you.
Well, I went to church, not to school.
My job is to equip you for the work of the ministry, bring you to unity and bring you to maturity. Here's your homework. I want you to either email, call, send a card to the person or persons that played a large part in you giving your heart to Jesus. And I want you to be thankful to them. Maybe you have never told them that they were a key. Kayla Keegan, not only being a key to one, she's added many people to the house of God because of the love that she has to see souls saved. Man, there are people in this room. Bridget Weigel. If it wasn't for Bridget, this entire family would not be in church today. Why don't you send a thank you letter to that person who most largely impacted you in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? I want you to recognize that if you start doing that, you're going to see the reaping of reward. For whatever man sows, that shall he also reap. And it's time to recognize that it's easy to focus on the negative. It's time to start being people of thanksgiving. It's time to be people that are grateful, even and especially in the midst of the trial. Can I hear an amen? Your other part of homework.
So we just want to extend the homework and make you a part of today's message, because it's one thing to hear the word, it's another thing to do it. So if you have any kind of social media, or you could just share with your friends and family and coworkers and the people around you, I want you to post what you're thankful for and hashtag thankful, so that you can be a part of today's message going further than right here, right now. Like in the story of Paul and Silas, their thanks and their praise set everyone around them free too. So your commission right now is to be thankful, and we can together set people free around us with our thanks. So make sure you do step one of your homework and step two and share what you're thankful for. Even when something bad happens and comes up, you know what I want to happen? The very first thing I want all of us to do is to give thanks. So you're not going to do anything until you give thanks. And not just give God thanks to God, but pick up the phone. Call somebody. Give thanks for something. Don't say anything about the problem. Give thanks. Somebody that's around you, I'm so thankful for. Give thanks.
For this is the will of God concerning you. Amen. Bow your heads with me this morning. The greatest place and way to give thanks is to give your life. And today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this is the key. You see, you learn how to be thankful when you have something to be thankful for. I really don't understand how people who don't know Christ survive. Honestly, I don't understand it. I don't understand because trouble comes to everybody. The Bible says that rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. But it's proven fact that a person with faith gets through a problem far quicker, far easier, with far less failure than somebody who doesn't know Christ. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, you want Him in your life. I'm not asking you to join the church. I'm not asking you to join religion. We want you to have the relationship, just as it was with Chris. We want you to know Him. He's a great God. Today, if you need Christ as your personal Savior, and you'd like Him in your life, I want you to slide your hand up right now. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. Thank you, sir. I see your hand. Is there anyone else this morning? You want Christ? Where am I? One more time, if you can raise your hand. I didn't see it. I want to identify it. It's very important. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. Anybody else? I'm not going to wait long. Come on. Get your hand up. 5, 4, 3. Come on, get your hand up. 2. Last call and 1. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. Actually, it's now afternoon. Turn to someone next to you and say what you're thankful for one more time. Come on, if you see somebody sitting alone and no one's saying anything to them, you need to say something to them. Hi, you have nice hair. Kenneth Hagin one time was at a funeral of a very popular man in the city. And he was a very evil man. He was not a nice person. And he went to this funeral, and a man walked up to him and said, "Hey, he was a bad guy, wasn't he?" And he started ripping him down in front of Brother Hagin. This is what Brother Hagin said: "But he sure did have nice teeth, didn't he?" You can always find something to encourage, strengthen, and be thankful for. Amen. I've even said at times, I'm thankful I'm not like that person. Amen? Be thankful. Father, I just release a blessing in the house this morning in the name of Jesus. I declare, God, that we will obey your will, that we will be people that will be thankful for what you have done for us. God, we can't thank you enough for washing our sins away. We can't thank you enough for giving your best to receive us. We can't thank you enough that we have eternity. We can't thank you enough for the Holy Ghost. We can't thank you enough for the power and the anointing. We can't thank you enough for your word. We can't thank you enough for your church. We can't thank you enough for our family. We can't thank you enough, oh God, for the tangible, material things we have. Lord, there's just so much we are thankful for. And we honor you this morning with our thanksgiving. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We honor you. We thank you for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, the prayer team's coming around the front of the altar. If you need prayer for anything, they're here for you. If you raise your hand for salvation, I'm going to ask you to be bold. Meet me right over here on this side. I'd like to pray with you real quickly. Come right out of your chair. Meet me right up front.
Praise the Lord. Praise this life.